Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 335, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Whisper. And it's also an ASMR podcast, officially, right
okay.
now.
All right, yin-yang in this thing.
It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024.
Yep. Hey, a lot of things going on today. It's School Bus Driver Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for being sober, or at least to my eyes, sober as you drove
present
me to school.
Functionally sober.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
For the most
giving
part.
Me something to aspire to. National Lost Dog Awareness Day. Oh, that's sad. National Cherry Cheesecake Day. National Take a Chance Day. National Picnic Day. And National Talk Like Shakespeare, my lord, Day.
Oh.
That's all I could do. I can't speak in iambic pentameter, but I can say my lord.
Like the vaguest of accents.
I know. Oh, talk like Shakespeare. Talk like Will.
He is doing a hand curl
Will
towards
die.
The front of his hat. So
we're just adding THs know. On the yes. end of some yes. words.
No, it's yeah. that it is if
talketh like Shakespeareth
Day.
Shakespeareth Days.
Miles, speaking of days,
yeah.
I would be remiss not to mention that we skipped right over, because it was a weekend, we didn't record, because we're lazy, that we skipped over 420.
Yeah, bro. I know, bro.
Yeah,
it's all
bro.
Good, though.
Did
it's,
you...
all about, it's all about June 9th, bro, 69. You know, we've moved on
okay.
from 420.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all about
so 69. We moved on from 420. Fuck it.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. I mean, honestly... And I've said this on the show more and more, like it's diminishing returns after you hit the heights of 18 years old on 420. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It'll never matter as much as it does when it's 18.
It's like what New Year's is to alcoholics, that is to people who smoke weed.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't matter. I'm drinking it every day anyway.
Yeah, well, okay.
So, yeah.
Amateur hour. I am a functioning alcoholic. I drink before I get to work.
Exactly.
This
and
is
these kids
nothing.
Gotta get to school.
Yes. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I saw the news today. Oh, boy. I had it printed from the internet. Can't bring my phone into a trial. Go get me a Big Mac, and then I'll take a nap. Ooh. Or alternately, go get me a Big Mac, and now we know how many Diet Cokes it takes the heart to stall.
Ooh.
That, a.k.a. courtesy of Shawnee Pawnee on the Discord, the alternate version, the 4,000 Holes in Blackburn, Lancashire verse from Steaming Chuck on the Discord.
Okay,
on a bit that. Of a roll, Steaming Chuck, on a bit of
yes,
a roll.
Bit of a roll, aren't we?
Shouts out to you both. And for Zeit Gang in general, someone was telling me how, like, British soccer anthems, like, British soccer crowds, like, get together and do like loose weird alifications of songs to like represent their players.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, we do that on our podcast.
Yeah.
Our dumb podcast, our brilliant listeners like make less dumb by doing that for us.
No, no. This is just terrorist culture. It's terrorist culture from the UK.
Terrorist
what we're taking.
Mate.
Yes. It's all hoodlum, terrorist culture.
Hoodlums.
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly. Ultras. Yeah, because for Arsenal, there is our most famous manager, Arsene Wenger. We did it to the tune of Guantanamera. One Arsene Wenger. There's only one Arsene Wenger.
There's one
Arsene Wenger. And it's like easy because I think that's the
everybody that's why, knows that. Yeah.
That's why I gravitated more towards European soccer because like I'm like, bro, they're doing more shit than like defense.
Yeah.
They're like talking about they're like, who's the Wenger in the green? Because the referees wear green shirts, and it's just like, you know, anyway, it's all fun. It's all
anyway,
fun.
Anyway, shout out to the Zeit Gang.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. I'm a frickle freak. Frickle freak. I love fried pickles. Yow. Okay, wow. Shout out Cleo Universe, because, yeah, I told you, I'm a bit of a, I stand for the frickle. You know what I mean?
The frickle?
The fried pickle. And yeah. Look, I'm not ashamed. So, yeah, thank you for putting that into a Rick Jamification of that.
Rick Jamification. I had fried pickles over the weekend at a footy match, LAFC, and they were bad.
Yeah.
They were not good. They promised Cheeto. What's the spicy Cheeto?
Flamin' Hot?
Flamin' Hot. They promised Flamin' Hot Cheeto. And
they're doing too much.
They were Flamin' Hot Cheeto in color only.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No flavor.
Look, we'll do a frickle tour eventually, you know, the places I trust. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The frickle tour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by one of the hosts of the incredible podcast 5-4, a show about all the ways the Supreme Court is a complete disaster.
It's sucky.
Also, a supervising attorney at Texas Law has worked as a public defender in Rio Grande City, Texas. Please welcome to the show, Rhiannon Hamad.
Hello. Do I sing? Am I going to do like a little jingle for myself?
If you got one.
Yeah, I'm here. We're great. Hot girl summer coming up.
There we go.
All right.
Hot girl summer predicted. Here.
My shoulders started moving a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, shit. Yeah, I'm feeling that one. What's your like, the thing I always ask people when they're like, should I sing? Is like, what's your karaoke go-to?
Oh, I do have the go-to karaoke is always TLC No Scrubs.
Oh, okay. Shit.
You start there, right? Like you can, the sky's the limit after that.
Yeah.
But once you get going on that, the vibes are going on that. Your power is sort of centered in a No Scrubs direction.
Yeah.
Karaoke is boundless.
And that's brave because karaoke bars are usually full of so many scrubs. I can't imagine that's very popular.
Yeah.
You know? That's right.
They're like,
they start booing and hissing.
Is she talking about me?
But I'm a scrub.
I do think I'm fine. And I'm also known to be a busta. Oh, no.
No.
Sometimes I hang out the passenger side of my best friend's ride.
I did get here fully hanging out the passenger side of my best friend's ride the whole time. I just get in the car and I'm hanging out the whole time.
I had a friend who, when the song first came out, they could have swore they were saying, is also known as a bus stop.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you need to hang around different people.
That sounds like a Joe Biden slang. Like, hey, we used to call him the bus stop.
Yeah, he's one of these scrubs. He's also known as a bus stop.
Corn Pop was always hanging around the bus stop.
I'm serious. He was a cannibal.
I'm serious, man. Hey, I'm serious, man. No, we know you think you're serious.
Right.
Sure.
No, you're not a serious person.
Right,
but
sure.
In your brain, you think you're serious.
Yeah, but I mean that. I mean what I'm saying. Yeah, no, we know. We know. Why don't you sit down, though?
We wish you didn't, but yeah.
Because your ice cream is melting all over your suit, sir. It's just really unseemly.
Just forgets about his ice cream.
Could you imagine? I feel like that would do a lot of damage to his campaign. Just sloppy, melted ice cream all over his suit. People be like, oh, you know what? That was it for me. Somehow.
I think that's how they focus.
They need
him.
That damage on top of like doing genocide Oh, okay. So the ice cream is going
to. Yeah, maybe he'll do that to distract from his lack of action there. And he's like, but I got this ice cream all over. Oh, most sloppy. Oh, poor me.
Right.
But secretly, I'm really mad at BB. Really secretly. Not out loud.
Yeah. No, of course.
All right, Rhiannon, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Okay.
First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about. 5-4, just one of my new favorite podcasts. I went deep on the Federalist Society with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about just the Federalist Society. I was aware of them, but I didn't know just how brazen and evil. I didn't know the details. So I do want to go into the Federalist Society, and then we're going to talk about some, just like what the Supreme Court brought to you by the Federalist Society is up to this week and just in general. But first, we do like to get to know our guests a little bit better by asking you, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. You know, listen, a lot of these personal questions about like, what's on your mind right now? What do you think's underrated? That kind of thing. It's tough. I am Palestinian. Mm-hmm. There is a genocide happening. So like my internet, my like media intake, all of that is real focused on all of that. But something that I did see in my Google search that is really relevant and maybe not directly genocide related, Adidas tracksuits.
Okay.
I'm ready. Mm. I'm ready to be suited up in the three stripes, down the arms, down the legs. I want it to be a bright color, red.
Yes.
Maybe a poppin' kind of lime green kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I just, it might not be every hot girl summer vibe, but it is my hot girl summer vibe. The Adidas tracksuit.
Wait, what brought you around on like the breakdancer's uniform, like the real OG hip hop outfit?
You know, it is also a kind of a Palestinian uncle vibe is the Adidas tracksuit,
sure,
right?
Sure.
That kind of thing. And so, going back to my roots, I guess we could say.
There you go. Yeah. We all become our uncles at the end of the day.
I played soccer too. I played soccer really seriously for my youth. And so, yeah, that was the brand, you know?
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
I started putting my 7-year-old in a just black Adidas tracksuit, like the one you're describing. And it, like the way that it transforms his energy, it's all stolen valor. He doesn't play soccer.
Valor. Hey, man, you a B-boy, right? Where'd you come up at?
He's like, doesn't play soccer, doesn't break dance yet.
Uh-huh.
But it's really like
it's powerful.
Yeah.
Article of clothes.
I feel like outfit. I've always been a coward. I've only gone pant or jacket. Like I've never actually bought a full blown. I remember 8th grade. I wore the fuck out of these gray Adidas 3-stripe pants that I had. Yeah. Like to the point they were just gnarly. But then I remember I didn't have money for the matching jacket. So then later on, when I was like, "Am I a full tracksuit guy?" I felt bad because I knew a lot of breakers, and I was like, "They're gonna just flame me because I'm not a breaker."
Yeah. Right.
And now I'm. You know what? I need to embrace the energy that is the old head three stripe suit. But I feel like it's coming back anyway. Like it's just because everything's so cyclical. Like it's on
trend.
And
everybody's wearing Sambas. The Sambas sneakers.
Yeah.
Those are, and it's crazy. I was wearing those in 7th grade.
Right.
Like not as a cool kid. Right.
Yeah. That's who knew the soccer nerd kids were. They're like, this fool is not even on the pitch and they wear it. They can't kick the shoe game. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah.
Next, snap bracelets coming back. then we're going to be all the way back.
Yeah.
Great. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. You know, I gave a lot of thought to this as well. And I'm going to say having a crazy cat. Underrated. I'm not a cat person. Didn't think I was a cat person. But just recently got my first cat. She's orange. Her name's Petra. She is psychotic. She's truly psychotic. I can't say it's a rewarding experience, but there is something to it. A certain je ne sais quoi to coming home and there's a little critter climbing up the wall, right? Just free solo, claws in the drywall, up and down the wall, right? Yeah. No, it really adds a little something to your day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would recommend everybody get a cat, mix up your daily routine. Maybe the chaos is coming from inside the house.
Right, for sure.
You know? Yeah.
The climbing up the walls, that sounds like a I just saw a security deposit go poof thinking about that.
I didn't know that orange cats are in particular crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently they are. Huh. And I am living it. So
right. There is proof, I can confirm.
Right? Yeah. Right. Scaling the curtains, scaling the walls.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not Garfield crazy, but crazy in a different way.
Like no,
a little bit more energy.
Not eating lasagna.
Right.
All
no,
the
there's
time.
A, yeah, there's a little bit more chaos to it rather than the kind of 420 Garfield.
Right. Have you, because I have cats too.
and they were just shredding up like our furniture. So like people were like, you know, like you could declaw them. Like, I'm not doing that. Are you kidding me? No,
no way.
But
no
I did.
Way.
We did put the little rubber finger tip things on the claws. And I don't know if it was worth the effort of trying to basically give a cat a manicure, two right. cats manicures on like both of their front paws. But yeah, we gave up on that pretty quickly. We're like, you know what? Maybe just fuck the couch up. Like, yeah, if that's right, what you want
right.
to do.
Yeah. The couch is yours now. You're right. Yeah, I bought yeah, it for
yeah.
you. That's
yeah, that
fine.
Was stupid of me. Yeah, to have this air.
I've discovered
in here.
That double-sided tape, she really oh, doesn't right. like it. But yeah. then your couch has double-sided tape on it. Right. You know, right. so. Right.
There's just a right. little trim of popcorn around the bottom of your couch.
right, right.
Like it's Santa's suit. Yeah. yeah. Covered in popcorn and yeah, pennies. I don't know why pennies, but.
just good couch stuff.
That's couch stuff. That's stuff mm-hmm. you find in couch. Mm-hmm. What is something you think is overrated?
My answer is for this. I don't want people to scream at me. You know, I was like instantly my body, my heart, my mind went Taylor Swift. But I can't say that. Mm-hmm. People are going to be so, so mad at me on
yeah.
the internet.
This crowd's used to it. Yeah. But yeah.
All right. So, you know, Taylor Swift, obviously. Then I was like, no, I can't say that. Well, what's the next thing that's like overrated? Well, Democrats, the Democratic Party, they fucking suck right now. People who like them are weird. Mm. But then I don't want people to yell at me about that either, you know? So
no, they're pretty cool about that. They take criticism pretty well, I feel yeah. like.
What do you mean I'm yeah. MAGA? What does blue MAGA mean?
right.
Oh,
shit. And so, you know what I've landed on? Overrated podcasting.
There you
okay.
go.
Just sitting in my damn closet once a week, speaking yep. into a Zoom, yep. you know?
Yep.
Oh, grateful damn, once it. A week. That must suck. You must not yeah. have much going on. Yeah.
wow.
Well, that's the thing, too. Overrated podcasting. I have a podcast. I also have a job.
Right.
right.
So, yeah, it's a lawyer job on top yeah. of that. So, yeah, man, I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
That's a lot. That yeah. is a lot. But it also makes your show so great. Like all the hosts have legal backgrounds and
yeah.
Yeah. functional ones. Yeah. Not just
functional
like
functional legal backgrounds.
I could have passed the bar, but I was like, dude, I don't need to do this. Yeah. I just need to yeah. prove to my parents I could go to law school anyway. But I'm basically
I took the LSAT three times. Welcome,
wow.
to my welcome to my legal podcast.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
And dude, I never did as good as I thought I should have.
dude, to me, an amicus brief is when my homies text me, what's up tonight? You see
wow.
feel me, dude? That's what I know what's up, dude. That's where I'm at legally.
Miles, that was really good.
I did feel it. So where are we on the pronunciation of amicus brief? I've always gone
that's
amicus,
correct.
But okay.
Amicus,
I feel like
yeah.
one of the hosts pronounced it in a different way. On
oh,
five,
you know what?
Four.
For yeah, for plural. So plural amicus is amici, but some people say amici. That's C-I.
Amici.
Yeah. Also my favorite
or
pizza
amici.
Place.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Amiki hard.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. We're all yeah. over the map on this one.
Yeah. yeah. I've always heard it amici, but I think who you're talking about on the podcast, my co-host Michael, who sometimes comes with Latin pronunciations
right.
that are just, yeah, from outer space. Never heard it before.
Yeah.
but this is how it was pronounced in ancient Rome. So
yes, right,
that's right. what we're going with.
We're not
going
to get laughed at by them. I'm telling you that. We're not going to get laughed at by them.
I'll be laughed at by everyone, but not my Latin professor.
but not Cicero. No.
Yes. All right. Should we take a break and come back and yeah. talk about the FedSoc, which I now know that FedSoc means the Federalist Society?
Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And I highly recommend everybody, upon completing this, go check out the 5-4 and specifically the Federalist Society history. I'm just going to keep going. And I think that communicates plenty. But I guess, so I always found it amazing, mind-blowing, that there was, in the earliest 20th century, something called the business plot, where a bunch of industrialists and business people tried to recruit a U.S. general to overthrow FDR's government and just be like, nah, we fuck with fascism and like we want better conditions for businesses. And it was unsuccessful, but it was so brazen, so out in the open, and just so like counter to whatever, like what America is supposed to stand for, that it just seemed like wild to me when I learned about that like 10, 15 years ago. And now I feel like this, the Federalist Society just was that, and they just stuck with it and have basically succeeded in doing what those people, like what those, the uber wealthy were trying to do in the early 20th century. Like even early funders of the Federalist Society were like the Mellon, like billionaires, you know, yeah. Like that gilded, like literally gilded age money monsters who were probably involved in the business plot, got the Federalist Society off the ground. And now we live in basically like what the business plot would have liked America to look like, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the Federalist Society, I think people like listening to this, like you might be familiar with like the term. They know that the Federalist Society is an organization, especially when Trump was president and was making his nominations to the Supreme Court.
Right.
It like came out that Trump was saying explicitly, yeah, the Federalist Society is providing me with these names, right? I got the shortlist for Amy Coney Barrett, right? Yeah. For Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. Those came to me from the Federalist Society. Yeah. So I think people like have a sense of like, well, who the fuck are these guys, right?
They're just list makers like BuzzFeed, you know?
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, they do listicles. That's yeah. Right.
Number three will make your heart flutter.
Really? Wow. But what we talk about on 5-4 is how the Federalist Society is really kind of like the judicial wing of the Republican Party. Now, the Federalist Society as an organization, it bills itself, kind of presents itself. They call themselves a debate club. They say they're a network of right. conservative attorneys judges, conservative legal academics, professors, right? And they say that they're just there to like talk about ideas, debate ideas in, you know, conservative legal spaces, that kind of thing. Bring together all kinds of conservatives so we can debate. And sometimes we bring liberals in too, so that we see the other side and stuff like that. That's how they talk about themselves.
Right.
And the Federalist Society, this organization, they have student chapters at law schools all around the country, and were in fact ostensibly kind of started as a student organization at Yale and the University of Chicago in the early 80s.
Yeah, but one of those grassroots student organizations funded by billionaires.
That's right, right. Yeah. Exactly.
So they have all the best food at their meetups.
Right, right. Yeah. You peer behind the curtain one step. And you see that, like, this is not a student organization. This is not a debate society. This is, like I said, this is the judicial wing of the Republican Party. This is the legal services provider for the Republican Party and for the conservative legal movement. So any conservative legal mission or like goal, right? Overturning Roe v. Wade, you know, the crushing of the administrative state. Federalist Society lawyers, Federalist Society professors, Federalist Society judges are all on the same page about all of this stuff and working in this network to bring those cases to the Supreme Court and effectuate those kind of like conservative legal goals, because the Republican Party has realized over the past 50 years, the Republican Party has realized that its policy goals are minoritarian. They are not popular. They actually wouldn't win if real democratic processes were in place to vote on what they want. So they have to use the judicial branch to reach their policy goals.
Yeah. And they're doing it to an extent where, I mean, now like everyone's just like, what is this Supreme Court now? I mean, I get that there were ideologues in the Supreme Court in years past, but I think obviously now that it's like, bro, there's no brakes on the conservative side now. We're just getting like decision after decision where I feel like every time people are like, is it legitimate? How do we contend with it? And yeah, like to your point, once some freaky billionaire's like, how do I get this done? They're like, oh yeah, we'll figure out a way. Even if we have to make up a victim to bring to the court. And they won't even really, you know, really pry into that. I mean, the last few cases were like, this person isn't even a web designer. And they're trying to act as if like she's suffering damages or something by this law. And you're like, fucking how? And you get that there's a whole machine. This is an apparatus, a machine, a whole thing pushing this all.
Yeah, that's the case 303 Creative. Really, really good example of how like the Federalist Society, the conservative legal movement, and now six fucking maniacs on the Supreme Court are dealing with their issues that they, you know, it's like we call it results oriented. Like they know the result that they want out of a case and they'll get there no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, fuck
just
the legal analysis.
Contorting their brains.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they call balls strikes. That's what. Wait, what?
Yeah, they call balls strikes.
They call it a strike. Yeah. That's right.
They see balls, they call it a strike. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a strike. What?
The only aspect of the story that made me hopeful was like how successful they've been. Like the history of the Federalist Society shows how quickly things can change. Now, granted, like things have changed for the worse. Like in huge way, like just compared to the 70s when this takeover kind of first started, like guns were not mentioned in the Republican Party's like platform until like 76. Prior to that, everyone was kind of like, yeah, no, the Second Amendment is about militias. Like it says in the Constitution, which we're supposed to be like into, I guess, as a party. And like there's a quote from a conservative justice who calls like the Second Amendment thing that we're all familiar with, and like I came up assuming was like a permanent part of the Republican Party. There's like a conservative justice who's like calls it the greatest fraud they've ever heard. Like if they can, so I don't know. Yeah, it just, if they can shift things that far that quickly, like maybe we can shift them back to where they were like in the 70s, like in some of these cases where it's just gotten so much worse because of them. But I don't know, that was like the thing that I found, one of the most startling things I found about it was just how much they have changed and how quickly it's happened.
Yeah, like it shows the power, the Federalist Society's success, the success of the conservative legal movement more broadly, like it shows the power of like building a movement, like organizing, like,
yeah.
like taking courts seriously, right? Like it wasn't like magic that did it. It was no. that like people coalesced around their common interest in opposing the New Deal, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, and movements to expand democracy, we can say, right?
Yeah.
They didn't like that. And so they started to organize against it. They made connections with politicians, all of that stuff. And over, like I said, over the past 50 years, like they are now, you know, kind of living in the world that they built, like living with their successes. And unfortunately, they're still full steam ahead because they're an incredibly powerful movement now. But I think you're exactly right, Jack. Like people will, especially law students, will ask us when we like go to law schools and talk about this stuff. Law students will ask us like, they're like hopeless. They're like despondent, right? They're like, what? Like, this world is unacceptable. How on earth do you, like, fight back against the Federalist Society? And I think that's because, like, a lot of young people, like, you have come up into your adulthood in, like, a Trump presidency. Like, everything awful. Like, institutions just completely illegitimate, on their face corrupt. And you're just like, how do you fix this, right? But taking a step back, it's exactly like you said, Jack. Like, politics can actually move quite quickly. And it just means that, like, movements need to be built. We also can organize ourselves against what they're doing, right? And there are lots of different methods that actually, like, it's not about like building a response twin organization of the Federalist Society to oppose the Federalist Society, right?
Right.
It's about like recognizing, like, you know, if you're interested in social justice, if you're a movement lawyer, all of these people, like, we have power that is very different from a billionaire funded my case to go to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And we should be using it. Right. And those things can happen very quickly in politics. Historically, they've happened very quickly. So this is not like, you know, the end is not written. Like the Federalist Society as it is today is not the world that we live in forever now. Like we can do something about it.
Yeah, like things ebb and flow. And right now, I think if you're younger, then you've been caught up, like you've only known peak Federalist Society power.
Exactly.
And you're like, I don't, how the fuck does this change? But like anything, yeah, things, opinions change and movements begin to form. And yeah, I think this is, I mean, I think because of the like depravity of the Supreme Court, it's doing the thing of like naturally beginning to radicalize people or at least bring people into a level of consciousness about, okay, so wait, what, how? Okay, and they are able to get there. Why? Because they're like corporations are now treated as people and can also spend unlimited sums of money that is actually affecting the legislative process. Okay. And
right,
I think,
right.
yeah, to that end, I feel like we talk about this all the time when we look at younger people. I'm like, when I was in college, I was engaged, but not to the degree that I even see people that are in high school are now, because the stakes are just completely different for them. So there is like this double-edged sword thing here where with the fuckery comes increased knowledge. But yeah, it's definitely a difficult time to be existing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's about like seeing where power is right now and how we can transfer power, right? So right now it's like not about like building the most powerful liberal legal organization to counter the Federalist Society. It's actually about saying like the Federalist Society has too much fucking power in our politics and in our lawmaking and in, you know, in the judiciary. The Supreme Court has too much fucking power. And so, you know, things like structural reforms, movement building that shift power to the people who should have it, workers, consumers, the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Democratic structures of government. That's where our focus should be.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, right? Like, you know, I guess we will talk about like what we could do later on, but it's come up pretty naturally now is like, you know, most people look at it and go, what can we do? Like, if it like all these people are screaming and shouting that they don't want X, Y, or Z, but they just don't care. And I get that, like, you know, one version is to build up the people power to do something like that. And then the other version too is like, if we want things like term limits or like if we want to pack the courts, we need legislators to do that. And that means like we have to count on them, because based on what I've seen, our legislators move at a pace that could be described as heroin snail. And so that does make me a little bit weird. But how do you look at that? Because I think that is one of the ways too. Like, we do need legislation that actually arises, like that intersects with the justices at a place that they know. They're like, oh, okay, these are new rules now.
Yeah.
But how do you sort of look at that, and what do you see as being like more effective versus the other? Or if we should just be like, no, like if we're patient, maybe this will work.
Yeah, no, it's not about patience. It's about like, mm-hmm. like doing some real shit, right? And doing some real shit kind of like across the board, across all of, we should be using all of the tools that we have for this. So when, like I said, we should be decreasing the power of the Supreme Court. How do you do that? There are lots of ways. Some of the things that you've just described are really good ways that like we should be pursuing. So packing the court, making the court bigger, making right. the number of justices bigger on the Supreme Court decreases the power that each individual justice has, right? It spreads power over a bigger body, meaning Sam Alito, the fuckface Brett Kavanaugh, the psycho Clarence Thomas don't have that like that the power that's currently consolidated in them right now. Right. Packing the court is a really great way to decrease that power. And that's kind of like what you're talking about with this kind of like short-term, long-term thing, right? We should be using like the short-term avenues that are available to us in building a long-term where the Supreme Court, the Federalist Society, corporations have less power over all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Term limits. That's a really good idea. I think there are tons of ideas for structural reform of the Supreme Court, and we should be like talking about all of them. That's when it comes to the politicians, right? Right. It's a failure of the Democratic Party that the Republicans, the Federalist Society, the conservative legal movement has taken the courts so seriously for decades now, and they've won what they've won, and they are like rolling around in the pigsty shit that they've created, and they love it. They're partying, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Democrats still are not taking the Supreme Court seriously, still not saying, hey, we need to reform this. Hey, we need to be doing our politics around this too, yeah. right?
What's the fear of the Democrats to legislate the courts? Like what, you know what I mean? Because I get part of it too, is like at the same time, both parties still serve corporate interests to a certain extent. So like, obviously they're like, maybe there's just the will of the donors aren't there, or what, or is just historically that there's just this like aversion to it. But that's the one thing I always see is like, things happen, and then you'll see people like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi like, you know what? We got to do something about the Supreme Court. Just not now. And I don't know when, but I'm going to say that out loud because that's what we do as a party.
I mean, I think the thing I always hear them say is that if Democrats pack the court when they're in office, won't the Republicans just pack the court back at them? And if so, who does that benefit overall, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I have two thoughts about this. One is like the historical thing. In history, pressure on the Supreme Court by the other branches of government works. So most famously, probably the most famous example is FDR in the 1930s, early 1940s, and with Congress is passing all of this New Deal legislation, right? Getting people jobs.
Yep.
As a communist. Getting people jobs, getting people to work, outlawing child labor, you know, more rights for workers, supporting unions, all of that kind of stuff. And the Supreme Court at that time was conservative and was striking down all of that legislation left and right. What did FDR do? FDR threatened to pack the court. He was like, I'm about to add justices if you guys don't get in line. And what did the Supreme Court do? They got in line. They stopped striking down that legislation so that New Deal legislation could actually go into effect. So there are historical analogs here. Like, we could be looking at that for historical analogs for Democrats actually using the fucking political power that they have. Right. And so there's that. And then the other thing that I was going to say to your point, Jack, about like this counter argument that Democrats will be like, well, Republicans will pack the court if we pack the court, and then it will be all Republicans. The thing that people don't stop and realize is that Republicans have packed the court. We live in a reality that is a Republican-packed Supreme Court and federal judiciary. Right. When Trump was in office, he nominated 25% of the current federal bench. All federal district court judges were nominated by Donald Trump. That's because that Republican president took the judiciary seriously and was like, oh, we have all these spots to fill. Let's go. Right. So we live in the world that is already a Republican packed court, a Republican packed judiciary. And so Democrats should be taking that seriously as sort of a method. Again, one of the tools that they have. And because the result would be that when Republicans pack the courts, the results are power is consolidated in the wealthy, in corporations, etc. If Democrats would pack the courts, the results would be people have more power, workers have more power, women have more power, minorities have more power. That's very hard to take away once it's given, right? Right. So the threat, I don't know, a generation, two generations from now, that then Republicans would come back and pack the court. And if Democrats packed the court first, that is so remote. Like, let's actually do something with the power that we have to give power to more people. And that is doing politics, that is doing good governance.
Right.
And yeah, I'm not worried about Republicans packing the court in 50 years. I'm worried about the Republican packed court right now.
Right. Yeah. Because yeah. It's there. It's like, it's more the Democrats are unpacking than packing. Really.
Right, right,
like,
exactly.
So don't worry.
You're
about
just letting
context.
It being packed, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing that I just wanted to cover on the Federalist Society is there's been this narrative of, well, the conservatives, now that they overturned Roe, are kind of like the dog that caught the car. And it's kind of this hopeful thing of like, yeah, but that was all they cared about. Right. And now they accomplished that. It's unpopular. They're kind of fucked. What are they going to do? And I think you specifically framed it as like the Federalist Society is a service provider to the Republican Party. Like, mm-hmm. they will move in accordance with whatever the Republican Party wants. Like, they,
right.
the gun thing didn't start with the Federalist Society. It started with, like, Reagan and, you know, the Republican Party kind of adopting
NRA,
some of these,
yeah.
the NRA. Mm-hmm. And then the Federalist Society was like, all right, well, we are yep. the judicial wing, as you said, of the Republican Party. So we're just going to get in line. So they are going to be, you know, as Trump, you know, continues to wield power, or, you know, let's say he wins the next election, they are going to be a fascism machine. Like, it's not going to be a thing where they're like, all right, well, this is a bridge too far. I think, like, January 6th, the fact that they wouldn't, like, ratify a separate set of electors, like the Supreme Court, I think misled me to be like, so the Supreme Court, like, ultimately is not going to just go along with Trump's bullshit. But, like, a lot of people in the Federalist Society who, like, put those justices on the Supreme Court were, like, guns blazing, like, January 6th, like, election overturning, like, conspiracy theorists. Like, that one of the founders was like, guys, this is too much. Like, Trump shouldn't be allowed to run for president. And they were like, you can't call yourself the founder anymore.
Away his title. Yeah,
they took away his title. And he was like, I'm sorry, I like Donald Trump again. Right? January 6th was tight. But it's just like, I do think the near future is just as dangerous. And, you know, there are a lot of really dark possibilities with the Federalist Society, just as much as like the recent past.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we said that the Federalist Society, you know, provided the list for Trump for who he was nominating to the Supreme Court. Those justices, in fact, the six conservative justices on the Supreme Court right now, are currently members of the Federalist Society or have been at points in their past. Just want to make it clear, like, this is a network that is like this is a network that's promoting from within its own ranks. These are their own people. Right.
Right.
And there's not a separation. There's not a separation. There is not a separation between the Federalist Society and the people on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Yeah, I think January 6th is like a really interesting, like, moment in history, I guess you could say, for the Federalist Society, because I think that if we're kind of calling the Federalist Society like a party, a political party, it's not officially, but if we think about it like that, they learned lessons from January 6th, right? And I think a really big lesson they learned was that you know, they can, as they were in January 6th, leading up to January 6th and afterwards in all of the litigation, whether it was Trump's fraud claims about votes, whether it was about, you know, states certifying their electors, all of it. Federalist Society lawyers had their hands on all of that, were directing all of that. There are Federalist Society lawyers who were actually took part in planning the January 6th stuff, like specifically.
Right.
But I think the lesson learned was that the public at large probably was left with a bit of distaste about the actual coup part.
Yeah.
Right. The actual invasion of the Capitol part. Right. Yes. Whereas the Federalist Society could have, and I think now has like learned the lesson that it can still be behind the scenes doing all of the legal machinations, all of the legal stuff, the legal work that needs to be done to effectuate the result that they want, which is Trump winning the presidency next time. Right.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think they've learned that lesson and they know that the messy coup, literal riot part was maybe something that like kind of made it overall unsuccessful. But they know that they have allies on the court up and down the federal judiciary. The lawyers have been working on this stuff for years, meaning like what kind of cases to bring. They're ready for the litigation.
Right.
And yeah, the Federalist Society has always been really good at this exactly, the behind the scenes work,
yeah,
where they're not saying like the Federalist Society is bringing this case. The Federalist Society isn't suing anybody. It's no. People in this network, right?
Yeah. They don't give up. They try exactly. And try. And, you know, they were trying to overturn Roe for decades. And then they just kept trying different things until they found a strategy packing the court with Federalist exactly. Society people to creatures. That actually worked.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that this isn't going to stop until an alternate force is put to work that stops it and counterbalances it.
Yeah. And, you know, like a lot of legal analysts or journalists, media at the time that Dobbs came down, which overturned Roe v. Wade, a lot of commentators were like, oh, well, what's the Republican Party going to do now? What's the right. Federalist Society going to do right. now? Like they won. They got their like big, they achieved their big project of overturning Roe. And now it seems like they're going to be like kind of disorganized and they don't really know what they're working on now. False, 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 false,
right.
false.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
false. Right?
They achieved like, their big project and then our exactly. side was like, checkmate, assholes. Like, wait, what? Like, wait, you just took us to fucking...
Y'all going to after exactly. IVF embryos too now?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was like, amuse-bouche, homie.
Right. So it's like, again, if we're thinking of them as kind of like a political party, like now it's more like a normal political party where there's different bowls of interest, less focused on the one single issue that they did coalesce around over, you know, since Roe v. Wade, since the early 70s. But they have tons of energy, tons of political will. And again, what they're working on is even more fascist stuff coming down the pipeline. And it's all centered, not just their opposition to Roe v. Wade and abortion rights. It's all centered on their opposition to the New Deal, to the civil rights movement, right. to the women's rights movement, and to expanding democracy. So the wildest, most fascist shit you can think of legally, they're working on it right now. It's absolutely coming down the pipeline, whether that's like rolling back protections for women and queer people, whether that is saying you don't have a right to contraception, whether, you know, we're talking about like prisoners' rights, the rights of criminal defendants, all kinds of stuff. They are absolutely still working on it. They are not disorganized now that they, quote unquote, won overturning yeah. Roe v. Wade.
I think the only part that I think they're like conflating what the aims are of the Federalist Society and like the broader conservative judicial movement with like the electoral politics of people that right. are down ballot of Trump who are like, oh, I don't know what to do now. It's like, yeah, sure. In that narrow sense, yes.
Exactly.
It's difficult yeah. now to campaign. But in right. terms of like a movement, like we're already seeing that's like they want to basically they really want to go back to the 19th century. At best, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the Federalist Society being that service provider. So you best believe they are hooking up with Republican and conservative politicians and being like, here's what you can campaign on. We're yeah. working on this. This is what donors care about right now. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sarah Marshall from the podcast You're Wrong About talks about how the right wing takeover of media and of politics over the past like 50 years has been very similar to like the panics that the right wing was having about like communism, like the Red Scare and like Satanism. And so like it's been this, you know, smaller like minority group that has imposed its ideals through, yeah, just like behind the scenes infiltration and all the shit that they were worried about. Like, I feel like their concerns around the Satanic Panic and like the Red Scare were just like them telling on themselves or giving themselves ideas about like how to do this shit.
Yeah, yeah. The Republicans, conservatives in general, especially social conservatives, they're really good at making the issues they care about into culture war bullshit. Yeah. Right. Like really firing up a base.
Yeah.
Really like, yeah, firing up this moral panic about stuff. And then when you like take a step back, you're like, wait, people voting? Like you're talking about mail-in ballots? Like what? Right. You know? So
yeah.
That's as tried and true, tale as old as time for sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about what's happening on the Supreme Court this week. We'll be right back.
A lot.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And I keep seeing stories about what the Supreme Court's up to. It seems bad.
Not good. Yeah.
A lot on the line this week. And who better? I want to pick Rhianna's brain with a few cases that we've seen kind of begin to bubble up over the last few months. The first one is Grants Pass. The city of Grants Pass in Oregon. They're basically arguing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, essentially, that cities will have the ability to punish people for having nowhere to sleep. That's like to say that, like, if you're sleeping outside or putting up a tent, whatever, that is now, there's nothing to protect you. Not even the Eighth Amendment, which I guess I mean, I was like, which cruel and unusual punishment was that protecting us from? Because it's not U.S. capitalism, for sure. But like, is that, I mean, I feel like the very distilled version of that I get is the Supreme Court is now going to basically come down on whether or not sleeping outside is a crime. I think that's maybe pretty broad, but how should we be looking at that? Because this feels like this has a lot of ramifications for many people who live in cities.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Like that is the essential like distillation of what's happening here. So yeah, people who are unhoused, sleeping outside, and in some cities, states, what have you, you can be criminally charged for that. Now, I think in Grants Pass, it's a ticket, right?
Right.
Like it's not necessarily that you, you know, can go to prison for this, but it is a ticket, a citation that is under the law, a punishment. If you have to pay a fine for something, that's a punishment, right? So the Supreme Court here is deciding, you know, if you are punishing somebody for being unhoused, is that cruel and unusual? And I think the specific setup actually in this case is, you know, there are cities where maybe you can get a ticket for, they call it, a lot of places call it public camping, right? Mm-hmm. You're camping on public grounds in a park, under a bridge, that kind of thing. There are cities where you can get a ticket for public camping, or the police can come and take down your tent and trash your belongings. And that's super, super messed up, obviously. But in a lot of cities, they have shelter beds. There is enough sort of emergency housing or housing for unhoused people that people aren't forced to do public camping. In Grants Pass and in the cases from the Ninth Circuit that are the ones going up to the Supreme Court in this case, the issue, for example, like in San Francisco, is that San Francisco has police go tear down homeless encampments, but there aren't enough beds in San Francisco there aren't enough shelter space. There isn't enough shelter space where those unhoused people can go. So it's in that kind of like specific legal situation that is like, is this cruel and unusual? Because you are literally criminalizing them for taking the only option that they have.
Right.
There is no other choice. They don't have another place to sleep. Right.
Yeah.
So is that cruel and unusual? Now, unfortunately, I hate to break the bad news, but the Supreme Court sucks.
Wait, I thought you said the Supreme Court sucks?
Sucks in like the bad way?
How do they like, how do they get away with the Supreme thing? Supreme always means superior.
It means all the toppings.
All the toppings.
It's unfortunately Supreme sucking in this in this realm. But there's no expectation here that the Supreme Court is going to be like, yeah, this is cruel and unusual punishment. You are violating these people's constitutional rights when you punish them for essentially being unhoused, right?
Yeah. I hear, because you hear what the proponents say, and it's like such like just inhumane bullshit where they're just like, well, I mean, it's really quite simple. It's like, we need to help our law enforcement figure out if they even have the ability to help keep our cities safe. And it, and then like completely skirting. And then you hear that really bad talking point. It's like, some people just want to be out there, like even if they have help, without actually talking about like the conditions some shelters are in. For some people, it's like, yeah, I'd rather take my chances on the street than go to the shelter because of X, Y, and Z threat I have there. But again, it's mostly lost in like, do you want to help like police make our city safer? And it's really just about that. Like, it's really
not Chamber of Commerce and people, local businesses. When in doubt, they're going to, I mean, especially now following Citizens United, where like corporations have more rights than individual people. Anything that's like, well, this lowers our property value or our ability
to... Oh, God, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. God, we'll sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, Miles. But,
oh, my God, your property value. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Like, that is more important under the current rules.
Yeah, I think, like, a big kind of takeaway of this case, or not even a takeaway, but, like, this case is a good example of something, which is that social problems, the problems in our society, often end up going to the Supreme Court, where, you know, if you're on the side of social justice, if you're on the side of welfare for people, if you're on the side of equality and justice, that's the Supreme Court is a dead end, right?
Yeah,
the Supreme Court is not going to solve our social problems. Here, the social problem is policing. The idea that public safety, quote unquote, is about tearing down unhoused people's tents, right? And the existence of homelessness to begin with. the housing crisis in America is a social problem, right? That is not going to be solved by this case. And yeah, it's a good example of politicians and people not coming together to work on actually solving those issues and just making it a, you know, a police, a law enforcement issue, taking it up and down the federal judiciary to the Supreme Court and back again. And nothing really gets solved, right? People are still unhoused. That's a problem.
Yeah. But then for them, it's like, well, at least legally now we can brutalize them. However, we
exactly.
Under the guise of we're actually keeping them safe, because some of them don't, you know, it's like, it's so unserious. And then this, I mean, this next one, I think is probably going to get the most attention, even though there's also obviously the Idaho abortion ban is something that the court is going to hear. And also like Starbucks, like, will you help us union bust, amongst many other things, which I'm sure they're going to be like, oh, yes, my good, my good Starbucks.
Would love to.
Oh, that's right up there. Yeah. Allie. Like Starbucks versus a union. Like, oh, my gosh.
Is the National Labor Relations Board go off their fucking rocker? Yeah, I think so. I think we need to yank the leash a little bit today here. But the other one is the Trump immunity God. You know, that was, I think like with this one, from I'm guessing, right, from especially everything I've heard, this case really isn't going to go anywhere because Trump's team is essentially arguing a president cannot face charges for anything without first being impeached and convicted by Congress. If that doesn't happen, they can kill. They can do murders with SEAL Team 6. And it's like, what? But I feel like here, the victory for him was the fact that they were like, okay, but we're going to delay our decision so that can gum up the rest of your legal trials here. Is that kind of what's going on?
That's 100% right. And it's also not just his legal team delaying, right? The Supreme Court is helping, right?
Exactly. By so, even saying, because they would have, normally it would have been open and like even the Supreme Court would be like, come on, fam. Because that means Joe Biden could do whatever the fuck he wants now.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So yeah, this all has to, this actually does come out of January 6th. You know, Jack Smith, special counsel, brought an indictment against Donald Trump, criminal indictment for the coup plot, basically. Mm-hmm. And this this lawsuit, Trump's lawyers are saying, well, no, you're actually immune from being sued or from criminal prosecution, any legal actions against you while you are president, right? That is obviously a wild argument because, again, like you just said,
because I'm on base. Nobody can touch me. I'm invincible. Yeah, I have the invincibility medal.
Can the president murder? Like, no, surely not, right? Like, the president is not absolutely immune.
Right. That's what the lawyers are kind of saying. Because I remember what was the lower court that first heard them? They're like, hold on, let me get this right. You just, so he can hit up SEAL Team 6 to just snuff somebody out. And they're like,
this is like getting in the weeds, but you know, the president does violence,
of course,
by nature of being the president, right? Yeah. Like Obama ordering drone strikes was Obama doing murder.
They're all war criminals,
They're all war criminals, but this lawsuit kind of like on its face, the Supreme Court. I don't think anybody thinks the Supreme Court, even these Supreme Court justices, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to be like, yep, you're right. The president is immune from everything while the president is in office. But the little tricks they're doing is about the delay so that this case doesn't actually get decided at a time when it really matters, right? Which is to say before the election.
Right.
So the Supreme Court granted cert, which means they accepted the case. They said they would hear the case. They granted cert months after they could have. And then when they said they would hear the case, they scheduled the oral argument for the end of April, when they could have heard the case much earlier. There were dates available. Scheduling it for the end of April means we likely will not have a decision until late June. And then if that means if the decision is no, he's not immune from everything, he can be taken to trial, then that means the trial would still have to happen. Right. You're talking about months and months and months, if not years. And then, you know, you got the election coming up in November. It's like Trump is going to be the president or he's not. But this decision about whether or not he is convicted of a crime for the January 6th coup attempt, you know, that it by that time it will be irrelevant because he will either win the election or not. Right.
Oof. That's just yeah, it's fun to see. It's fun to see. It'll play out. Like I keep saying, November, take your time. please take your time. You know, let me just be so present throughout here.
All right. Now, just give us like an ESPN talking head take. Is Trump going to win the presidency or not? Just,
yeah. What are you thinking here?
This guy's the best. No, I'm just joking.
One last question as it relates to SCOTUS, because I feel like there's always these moments, right? Before we go, I'm sorry, I had to ask you this while I have you here. There's always these moments, right, where you're like, man, I know what Kavanaugh is going to say. I know what Coney Barrett's about to say. I know what Neil's about to say. And then, like, they switch it up, like, and find their spine in, like, the weirdest ways. Like, specifically Neil Gorsuch, who's like, tribal rights, man, I'm telling you, don't fuck with that. And you're like, but fuck everyone else's rights? Like, how do you sort of view these, like, you know, I've heard some theories, like, he's so conservative that, like, it intellectually brings him to a point where he's like, he has no choice but to defend tribal rights. Others like, well, he grew up in the Southwest and knew this, that, and the other. But how do you see, like, these flashes of, like, when you're like, somehow, like, Amy Coney Barrett had a half decent opinion? Is that them being like, I gotta kind of edge with the wacky shit so they don't think I'm a total scumbag, so I just do it here and there? Or is there just, like, how do you view this sort of, like, the vacillation between, like, the being moral or not giving a fuck at all?
Place. You know, I think you just have to remember that they're individuals, like, they're human beings, right? Gorsuch on tribal rights. Yeah, he spent a lot of time, I think, coming up as a lawyer and as a judge in states where tribal rights were something being litigated, right? Or like tribal jurisdiction, federal Indian law was an issue, right? And so he just knows a lot about it. And I think he can, it's not about like caring about the rights of minorities or people of color. I think he just knows a lot about the law and has totally kind of like, he's totally like brought that into his conservative legal approach, right? He's a textualist. So he's able to say things like, look, the treaties with tribes say this. This is the text. I'm a conservative. I'm a textualist. This is how I interpret it. And so they're all individuals, sometimes with kind of like a little surprise here and there. But to them, they're always working within and for the conservative legal movement for sure. And I would say the thing that is more pronounced, more than like an occasional surprise half liberal take from a conservative justice, is actually that they're getting more conservative while they're on the bench. So Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, John Roberts, especially, they are talking about things, writing about things in 2024 in their opinions that they would not have said, thought, put down on paper in opinions, you know, 20 years ago when they were earlier, more junior justices,
Because they have this little club that they go to called the Federalist Society, where they like give speeches and they're like, it's nice to be somewhere where people aren't protesting outside my house. And everyone's like,
I love that. Hey, Harlan, come out with the money cannon. Harlan, come out with the, Harlan Crowe about to hit y'all with the money cannon now.
Harlan Crowe, everyone.
All
right. Well, Rhiannon, what a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, this was really fun. Thanks, y'all. So the podcast is called 5 to 4. That's the number 5-4. We're on all social media at 5-4-pod, all spelled out. I'm on Twitter. Refuse to call it the other thing.
Thank you.
AWA.
In this household?
Absolutely not. At Awa Rhiannon. That's A-Y-W-A Rhiannon. And yeah, come check us out. 5-4-pod.com. We are talking about all this shit and more week in and week out.
There you go. Is there a work of media, social media or otherwise, that you've been enjoying?
Oh, you know what? I've been watching the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, the ship that is set sail for Gaza. People from all over the world are on this ship. They have tons of humanitarian aid, and they are going to attempt to break the 17-year siege of Gaza by landing at the port in Gaza. So God bless.
Yeah. Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work in media you've been enjoying?
find me where they have the social medias at Miles of Gray. I'm on most of them, you know, so just search there. And also you can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack at Boosties. And if you like to talk about 90 Day Fiance, you know, where we get into the nuances of immigration reform. No, we don't. We're just talking about trash reality. check me out on 420 Day Fiance. Any tweets I like? No, I haven't been on the tweet thing, but I just, what did I start watching recently? Oh, I was just watching the rest of it. No, I don't even recommend it. Never mind. I just have the thing that I was going to trash. But no, continue doing what you do for your social medias. But yeah, I have no suggestions, Your Honor.
No further suggestions, Your Honor?
No further suggestions, My Honor.
All right. Work of media. Yeah, just a tweet from Christy Yamaguchi, man, at the Waffle House on Twitter. Who tweeted, don't text right now. Just learned the high school from 10 Things I Hate About You is a real high school called Stadium High School. And I don't know if you remember that high school, but it's like, it looks like Arkham Asylum, but then there's like a big stadium in the middle of it. There's like a field with like this big castle in the background. It's like one of the wildest things I've ever seen. Anyways, I'll link off to that in footnotes. Worth your time. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is a song from a duo called Tandii, T-H-A-N-D-I-I, and they're from the UK, but they're like studio musicians that used to play with bands like Michael Kiwanuka or like Salt or Cleo Soul, Little Sims, like groups that I definitely fuck with, and they just have like their own project together, and it's called Tandii. And it's got this like DIY, like sexy Rick James kind of shit going on this track. It's called Big Boys Don't Cry. And it's just some nice bedroom funk, I think is what I'll call this one. So this is from Tandii. Check it out.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.